Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. Dave LaGreca and WWE Hall of Famer and the greatest tag team wrestler of all time, Bully Ray, and I talk all about Monday Night Raw, the return again of Goldberg. We have a new Raw Women's Champion in Nikki Ashton. Oh boy, Karrion Kross makes his debut. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. I gotta be honest with you, Bully. I was left scratching my head coming out of that show last night. Again, outside of Nikki Ash, boy, this company does not want to create new stars. Holy shit. They love the same old, same old. Let's bring it back, baby. We got SummerSlam coming up. We have no fucking confidence in anybody on our roster, so let's bring them back. If you like 1999, you'll love Monday Night Raw in 2021. Let's bring them back.
I'm not going to disagree with anything that you just said there about their inability to create the stars of tomorrow, but I do not think Raw was painful. And I think the number one thing that made it a halfway decent show were the fans in attendance. You got to be fair and you got to be honest. You got to look at it 30,000 feet. Was the beginning of the show painful? Was John Cena opening the show painful?
Not at all.
There was a lot of excitement in the crowd.
Yes.
Hey, when Keith Lee showed back up, there was a lot of excitement in the crowd. When Goldberg showed up, there was a lot of excitement in the crowd. There was a lot of excitement in the crowd for the false finishes during Charlotte and Rhea. There was a lot of excitement in the crowd when Nikki Ash cashed in. When you get that much excitement from the crowd, I would never put the word painful on that. Decisions that were made, completely questionable. Some of which I have no answer for this morning. But as far as a painful 3 hours, no. It definitely had its dips. There were things that I was sitting on my couch, and at one point during one of the finishes of the match, I threw my pillow at the TV. Because I was so taken back by it, didn't understand it. And the match was Karrion Kross versus Jeff Hardy. I was questioning why taking the entrance of the way, no Scarlett, yada, yada. But then when I saw that it was going to be against Jeff Hardy, I actually said out loud and Velvet heard me. I was like, all right, bye-bye, Jeff Hardy, because I figured Jeff was going to get beat. Now, maybe that's exactly why they did what they did. But talk about the wrong guy to try to fool us with, it's Karrion Kross.
Yeah, and there's a lot to digest. And you're right, Bully, when you talk about the crowd being back. And we talked about it yesterday. Listen, SmackDown on Friday, I thought an excellent show. I mean, the crowd carried that show. I mean, there was nothing to complain about from SmackDown on Friday. And Vince McMahon coming out and saying, where have you been? Man, just a magical show from top to bottom and got me juiced and got me excited. Money in the Bank, a sold-out crowd. Fantastic show. The matches were incredible. And I was so juiced. I couldn't sleep Sunday night because I couldn't wait to get on the air to talk about it yesterday. And honestly, Bully, yesterday coming out of the show, I was like, I can't wait to talk about some of this stuff with Bully on Tuesday. you know, you were out celebrating your birthday. You know what I'm saying? Your birthday celebration carried into Monday, because that's what happens when you're a Hall of Famer. You know, you get a weekend plus of birthday celebrations. But I'm like, man, on Tuesday, this is what Bully and I are going to be. No matter what happens on Monday Night Raw, we're going to be carrying these good vibes into Tuesday. And I understand what you're saying about the crowd last night. But Bully, man, you called me after the Keith Lee match. And then I called you after what happened with Karrion Kross. And just a lot of question marks and a lot of whys. I don't get it. I don't understand the WWE's fascination with Goldberg. I get Edge. I get Cena. The Goldberg thing just completely goes over my head, Bully.
I think that the powers that be really like Goldberg. I think Vince and Bruce Pritchard like Goldberg. And thus they keep bringing him back. Bobby Lashley defeating Goldberg at SummerSlam will be a good setup for whatever's next. I would imagine that next is Brock Lesnar. So that's how they look at it. Goldberg's a star. He's a Hall of Famer. So Bobby gets a credible win. In fans' eyes, I'm not sure they see it so much. And Dave, one of the things I thought about last night is when we talk about fans in the WWE universe, there's two sets of fans. It's the fans that the WWE want to cater to, which is your normal WWE Universe fan that only consumes what's on television. And then there's the internet wrestling community fan, which, you know, has their way of looking at things. The IWC WWE fan is never going to like the Goldberg suggestion, the Goldberg idea. They're going to hate it. And I understand why. Do I think it's a credible win for Bobby Lashley to beat Goldberg at SummerSlam to move on to his next opponent? No, because at this point, a lot of people have beaten Goldberg.
Yeah.
And why does Goldberg get to just waltz back in? And we've had this conversation before. Why does Goldberg just get to waltz back in and jump ahead of the line of the, you know, Drew getting another rematch? I mean, I'm sure Drew has some stip where he's not allowed to have another match or something. But why? Why do we just continue to allow that to happen? Give me a reason. I would have loved to have seen Goldberg say, "I'm next," and then Bobby Lashley say, "No, you're not," and walk away. And then you're like, "Whoa, what do you mean, no, you're not?" Now you got to tune in next week, and maybe Goldberg comes back, and he's like, "No, you're not just waltzing in here again." Isn't anybody going to be smart enough to head Goldberg off at the pass? How come nobody pumps Goldberg's brakes? How come Bobby Lashley didn't say, "No, you're not next"? And next week he turns around and says, "You know what? You show up, you lose, and then you go home." So now if you want to show up and get a shot at this championship, you got to beat three people. And you know what you do with Goldberg, Dave? You do with Goldberg what you did day one with Goldberg in WCW. Have Bill have three 30-second matches. Spear, jackhammer, spear, yep. Jackhammer, spear, jackhammer. Now he did exactly what the world heavyweight champion said he had to do to earn a shot. Now as a fan, I'm like, all right, well, Lashley pumped the brakes, said, "No, screw you. You're not walking in here and just getting a shot. But I'll tell you what, Bill, you want a shot? You go through this guy, and this guy, and then I'll give you a shot." Bang, bang. Now you got 3 weeks of Goldberg on TV. Old school Goldberg. Bell rings, spear, jackhammer, 1, 2, 3. It's going to work.
Of course,
because
you're
going to give the fans Goldberg's two biggest hits, the spear and the jackhammer. And now he shows up on week 4, gets in Bobby's face, says, "I did exactly what you said you wanted me to do. Now I'm next at SummerSlam. Now the champ's backed into a corner. Now he has to face Goldberg." Does that work?
It definitely works. And then he can have, like you said, like a little mini streak here. Like, you know, Goldberg's known for the streak. And then Lashley could say, "You know what? I'm looking at your record. You're 2-4. Your last 6 matches with the WWE. How about you get a little win streak here before I consider having a match with you at SummerSlam?" And then do just what you said, Bully. Jackhammer, 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 jackhammer. Match with Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam. You get Goldberg, like you said, people will be interested. I got to see if Goldberg can win these matches week in and week out leading up to SummerSlam. So you get a little pop in the rating on Monday Night Raw. And then you get the match with Lashley, going over at SummerSlam. That's a credible win because what I said is completely true. He came back. This is, you know, WrestleMania 33, he loses to Brock. Then he had the Super Showdown match with The Undertaker, which he lost. Then they had the Make Good match because things didn't go well with The Undertaker, and he beat Dolph Ziggler. He beat The Fiend to win the championship, lost to Braun at WrestleMania, lost to Drew McIntyre at the Royal Rumble. Do we really need Goldberg to come back to lose again at SummerSlam to Lashley? You just did that for Drew McIntyre. This is exactly what you did for Drew. Hey, so it doesn't really do anything for Lashley, in my opinion.
I understand, but fans are back in attendance. The WWE universe is excited. Goldberg is a WWE Hall of Famer. They put him out there. They keep seeing what they can get out of him. They must be getting something out of him, and I know Vince likes him. So, listen, Goldberg is an older gentleman who still goes to the gym. He looks phenomenal, and Vince McMahon is a mark for that kind of stuff. So, opportunities and chances are still given. Do I think it's right from a business point of view if the WWE believes that their diehard universe fans will enjoy Goldberg, then I guess they're making a decision in the best interest of their fan base. Do I think the internet wrestling community wants to see this? Probably not. But at the end of the day, when I see Bobby Lashley beat Goldberg in about 5 minutes or so, am I going to be like, oh my God, Bobby Lashley is ready for just about anybody? Not really, because I've seen Goldberg get beaten four times, just like you said, in the past whatever amount of time it's been.
This is Jimmy Smith, voice of WWE Monday Night Raw and host of Unlocking the Cage on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156. And I'm here to let you know that Unlocking the Cage is now available as a podcast. That's right. You'll get my take on the trending stories in combat sports and interviews with some of the biggest names in the fight game. I'm bringing you shows every weekday. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app free for most subscribers.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overage. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It's crystal clear, and it doesn't kill my monthly budget. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Bully, congratulations to your new Raw Women's Champion, Nikki A.S.H.
How'd you feel about the cash-in? How do you feel about Nikki A.S.H. as your new champion?
I'm happy that she came up with what she says was a character that she developed and she pitched, and to see it come to winning a championship and a pretty cool moment in front of a crowd where the crowd popped big time. I think that's probably one of the three big pops of the night, along with Cena and Goldberg. So kind of hard to criticize something that was as over as that was last night.
So how do you think a character that Nikki A.S.H. created was able to make it all the way through creative, all the way to Vince, and then last night she cashes, she wins the Money in the Bank, and then last night gets the cash in and pins Charlotte Flair?
Yeah.
How do you think that made it all the way through?
They must have believed in it. They must love it. They must want to get behind it.
Why? What about her character that she came up with made it as far as it did?
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. The underdog, and everybody gets behind the underdog. You know, superheroes are really hot right now. So, you know, it's a pseudo superhero. Plus, it's a feel good. You know, she's somebody that I try hard, and, you know, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do my best. And when you work as hard as I do, you're going to be able to make it. And I know where you're going to. It puts smiles on people's faces.
Ding, ding, ding. Circle gets the square. It is a character that they can sell merchandise with and puts smiles on people's faces. That's it. Now, do you want to see Nikki A.S.H. defend her championship?
That's a great question, because do I want
to
see...
That's what I do. Great questions and crab cakes.
That's another t-shirt. Do I want to see Nikki A.S.H. against Charlotte like I did the match that I watched at Money in the Bank? No.
Do you think she's a long-term world champion?
No.
They blew through it kind of quickly.
Yes.
I mean, this is like, what, a two-month build from day one?
If that.
Okay. Last night was her payoff. I remember watching her last night for like the last 10 to 15 seconds. She was on Raw standing there, standing with the people, championship in the air. And I was like, enjoy this moment, girl, because you never know how long it's going to last. I don't know how a character or a gimmick like Nikki A.S.H. can continue to be a woman's champion when you have the likes of the Rhea's and the Charlottes and, you know, maybe the eventual returning Becky, who is at home breastfeeding and is still more over than any woman on the roster right now. That's at least according to her and her Twitter machine.
Once again, doing a great job on social media, even when she's not in the ring.
Yep. So we'll see what happens with Nikki. Maybe she holds on, finds a way to hold on to it for a couple of weeks or so. Maybe she has a match at SummerSlam. But I see that championship coming off of her relatively quickly.
Yeah. And I think Nikki A.S.H. had her debut as far as this character on, wow, is really at the end of June. So it hasn't even been like a full month or just about
pretty
a
quick.
Month now.
Pretty quick. But yeah. She had that feel-good moment of winning the championship regardless of how she won it. She laid out, and when she had her moment, she, you know, climbed that ladder, grabbed her championship. And then last night, she cashed in. It was a fun moment. It was a feel-good moment. It was a happy way to go off of Monday Night Raw. I think a lot of people thought that Becky was going to show up last night. They got Nikki. They got a moment. They got a title. This was our first title change on television, right?
Any championship in front of fans?
Yes, yes.
I believe so. Well, I'm not counting.
Did the Usos win?
Yeah, the Usos won the tag championship.
Yeah, but that was on pay-per-view. That was on pay-per-view. This was a championship changing hands on TV.
Yeah.
Listen, whether it was the first one or the second one, who gives a shit? We just got people back in the arena, and it was a fun moment for them. And that's it. That's another positive moment from last time. I thought Flair, Charlotte, and Rhea had a pretty good match. I didn't think it was as good as their pay-per-view match. Pretty good match. Were you going to say something about that? Did you have an opinion about it?
But that's the thing. Like, you know, when you look at Rhea Ripley, when you look at Charlotte, if you want to throw in Asuka and a returning Becky Lynch, you get it. This could be like,
Asuka. Asuka's not in my pool anymore. Sorry.
Okay. All right. But after watching that match that we saw at Money in the Bank, if Becky does come back, how does she fit in right now with the championship title picture? I have a feeling that what we're going to get with Nikki A.S.H. is a championship match at SummerSlam against Alexa Bliss.
And if we do get a returning Becky, would you rather see a returning Becky standing across from Charlotte Flair with no championship involved? Because I don't think Becky and Charlotte need a championship involved. I think there's enough of a grudge there. There's enough history there. There's enough story there. Or does Becky show up on SmackDown where her husband is, where life would be easier for the both of them?
And knowing how much they love Becky and Seth, I don't see any reason why you would, and especially now that we're going back on the road. I don't think they want to break up Seth and Becky being on the road together, especially now with the young child. So I would think, Bully, that she's most likely going to go to SmackDown and not Monday Night Raw. And now it makes sense. If Charlotte was the champion, it would be a different discussion. But with Nikki A.S.H. as the champion, I don't think Becky fits on Monday Night Raw.
I have no desire to see Becky Lynch standing across from Nikki A.S.H. Absolutely not. For what reason?
Yeah.
I want Becky coming back at the absolute perfect moment. But who's the perfect person for Becky to come back and stand across from?
I guess
to me,
Sasha?
To me, Bianca? Is it Sasha?
I mean, Charlotte would be the one, but
that's what I mean. It feels like it has to be Charlotte.
I just don't know if it works right now for the reasons that you just said. And I get what you're saying, Bully, about you don't need a championship with Charlotte and Becky. But if you have Charlotte and Becky in a match or in a feud, that's going to overshadow the title picture. Because whatever Nikki A.S.H. is doing cannot compare to Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
WWE doesn't care if that match overshadows the title picture. There have been plenty of matches out there that have overshadowed title pictures. To them, it's all about star power and the selling of a pay-per-view or the selling out of an arena.
I am a little worried with Nikki A.S.H., though, for this reason. If it looks like it's setting up with a match with Alexa Bliss, there's a history there, there's a story there. But as you saw, even on Money in the Bank, they're going full throttle with Alexa Bliss, hypnotizing people and using these supernatural powers. Which again, why didn't she just have the belt drop into her hands at Money in the Bank if you're going to go that way? But this is going to be hokey. I mean, you know, I think moving forward, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. I always get nervous when it involves a title. You can have Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in a story that's hokey and supernatural and all this stuff. I just hate when it involves a championship title.
I agree. Do you think putting a championship on Alexa Bliss, forget about what you think, does it do anything for you?
No,
if Alexa Bliss was to beat Nikki A.S.H. to become the champion, does that?
No, because we saw that with The Fiend. You know, the we said there's a complete disconnect with The Fiend and the title. It's an interesting discussion. We got to take a break. Let's come back with The Nation. And then we got to get in 10 minutes. We got to get into John Cena's return on Monday Night Raw as well. We got a lot to do when Bully and I are back right here on Busted Open.
SiriusXM presents an exclusive podcast. Comic-Con begins.
Comics, science fiction,
monster movies,
Star Trek, fantasy,
Star Wars.
Learn how a group of high school comic book fans,
children were going to the back of a dirty bookstore,
started what became the biggest annual pop culture event in the world.
Geeks are running Hollywood now.
Comic-Con changed my life.
Comic-Con begins, a 6-part series. All episodes available now on the SXM app. Download today, free for most subscribers.
Hey there, I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog.
So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
I really don't understand, ultimately, Bully, why you had Karrion Kross on the show at all. Like, you put Karrion Kross, which you would think is going to be a little bit of a commercial for NXT, so people start watching NXT, because, Bully, I don't think I'm unfair in saying that they have to be disappointed in the ratings for NXT. We praise NXT up and down on this show, but people aren't watching in droves. They have a consistent fan base that tunes in, but it's not a large fan base by any stretch compared to SmackDown and Raw.
They did north of 700,000 last week.
Okay.
Maybe a little on the high end of what they're used to, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually between like the 600,000 and 700,000 is what the NXT viewer does. So I'm thinking, all right, you know what? Hey, the WWE wants to get behind this a little bit more. They put Karrion Kross on, and people will be like, oh, hey, the only way, since he's the champion, the only way you can watch Karrion Kross is by watching NXT. Makes sense. But it doesn't make sense in what was played out last night. Because he is your NXT champion. He lost in a minute and 39 seconds. And we're not going to see him on Raw again, Bully. I mean, are we? I mean, he says to Jeff Hardy, is Jeff Hardy now going to move to NXT? I mean, is that possibly happening?
I'd love to. If you're not doing anything with Jeff Hardy on the main roster, sure. But Jeff Hardy is a fan favorite, and he is a live event mainstay. You want people come, you know, you can't send Jeff to NXT or exclusively to NXT. You want him there for the fan experience. Jeff is one of the absolute best at that. If you want him pulling double duty, that's good. If Jeff showed up unannounced on NXT tonight, that would be great. It'd be intriguing. The thing with NXT is you know what you're getting every week. You're getting NXT. Yes, not Dana Brooke. Mandy Rose did show up last week. Are you really intrigued at tuning into NXT tonight for Mandy Rose? I'm sorry, I'm not.
No, because you saw her every week on Raw with Dana Brooke running away from Nia Jax.
I tell you this, if Jeff Hardy picked up his Twitter machine right now and said, I'm showing up to NXT tonight, would I be intrigued? Yes, then I would.
Yeah. But Karrion Kross is also in a story right now with Samoa Joe. Now, Samoa Joe, we don't know if he can get into the ring and actually compete. I mean, you hope he could. I mean, the story has to lead somewhere, but you're right. If Jeff Hardy was to pick up his Twitter and say, yes, I will be on NXT to address Karrion Kross, I'm tuning into that. Other than that, Bully, they're not giving me a reason to tune into NXT.
So what if the story was this? What if the story was, yeah, Jeff put his feet on the ropes, and yes, Karrion Kross said you made a huge mistake. And yes, Karrion Kross has to show up tonight on NXT, and maybe he acknowledges it. And the whole situation with Joe plays out, and now Joe has to turn around and say, I can't wrestle. Was there supposed to be a match tonight with Joe and Kross?
No, because...
But they're building towards one.
Yes. Well, after what happened last week, most certainly.
Right. So what if the story was going to be where Joe says, well, you know what, at the beginning of this whole thing, Regal said I could not, you know, get involved and I'm not medically cleared, but my replacement is Jeff Hardy. And what if you get Jeff Hardy versus Karrion Kross on NXT in a couple of weeks from now where Karrion Kross beats Jeff Hardy?
Oh, okay. I mean,
still I'm a shitty opposed way to debut last night on Raw.
Yeah, there's a thousand different ways you could have done it where it would get you emotionally invested. But what you're saying, Bully, is a last glimmer of possible hope and trying to explain what took place. That is probably, there's no chance of that happening. I would
Dave, that's what I do. Crab cakes and hope.
That should be a t-shirt. Crab Bully Ray, crab cakes and hope. But that, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I don't think that's what's going to take place. I actually think what you just said at the end of the first hour with, like, Vince McMahon, this is your punishment for losing to AEW. That sounds more, as crazy as it seems, that sounds more logical. It really does.
Hate to Bully, think that way.
Bully, why would you want to tune into NXT tonight? You just
for the same reason. Listen, for the same reason everybody tunes in. It's their built-in audience. Do you really think that 650,000 to 700,000 people are not tuning into NXT tonight because Karrion Kross lost last night?
No, but Bully, if you played it right, maybe you might get another 100 to 150,000 people tune into NXT tonight. Maybe if they had Karrion Kross just beat the fucking shit out of somebody and you were like, holy shit. Bully, let me just rewind. Let's rewind the tape to before that match. All right, and you put a different opponent in there, whoever. It could be anybody. You give that full-blown entrance of Karrion Kross and Scarlett. I mean, I would say probably the best entrance in all of wrestling right now. You give us that entrance, and then you have them just dominate somebody for a minute and 39 seconds. And then him take the microphone and say, you know, TikTok and whatever he wants to say. And then the commentators say, you know, this whole story about him and Samoa Joe. And dude, you might pick up another 100 and 150,000 fans to NXT. That's not out of the realm of possibility. So this show that's really struggling in the ratings, and let's face it, when you look at the week of pro wrestling, that they're not competing right now. But if you do that, hell, maybe they are. Maybe, you know, maybe tonight we'd be talking about them getting 800,000 viewers or possibly 900,000 viewers. Why can't you do that? Why can't you do that?
I agree, Dave. I agree. That's how I would be doing it. And your idea is good. Once again, I don't know why they decide, hey, let's take the NXT champion, let's just throw him out on Monday Night Raw, let's only give them half of his entrance, let's give them none of Scarlett, and then have him lose in a $1.39 to a babyface who put his feet on the ropes. To me, the world of professional wrestling that I come from, all of that is wrong.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out a story that would make sense. What I just came up with a couple of minutes ago, maybe that's the way they're going to go. But they would have been it would have done Karrion Kross a lot better if Kross would have killed Jeff Hardy. If they would have absolutely needed Jeff Hardy to go over, Kross slips on the banana peel, kills Hardy again afterwards. So Jeff Hardy got his win, but Kross still looks like a killer. Jeff Hardy might have went over, but Kross would have got over for the way he treated Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, but Bully.
Or you just have Karrion Kross beat the shit out of Jeff Hardy so bad that he gets the 1-2-3. And then afterwards, Dave, remember back in the day after a heel would win a match, would inflict punishment on the babyface, and the referee would reverse the decision and then decide that he is awarded the match to the babyface? Do you remember them? They did it every once in a while.
He would get disqualified because he would just continue to beat the hell out of the person.
The referee would reverse the decision. Yep. Why couldn't you do that? Have Kross go over to $1.39, continue to beat the crap out of Hardy. Referee has reversed the decision. Kross grabs the referee, boom, spikes him right on his head. And turns around and goes, fuck this place. I'm going back to NXT.
And I want you to follow. And I want you to follow along with me. See you tomorrow night on NXT.
Now you just made somebody.
Yep.
But you know what? Maybe they didn't want to make Karrion Kross, or maybe they're waiting to. Maybe they're waiting to make Karrion Kross. But I know this: you never get a second chance to make that first impression.
Yeah, I mean, shit, dude. You want to make a debut? Do it full blown. And also, too, Karrion Kross wasn't exactly dominant in that minute 39 seconds. He was flat on his back in the ring. But Jeff Hardy was going for the Swanton. I was like, I never in a million years, Bully, was expecting Karrion Kross to lose that match, but I was shocked just how much offense they gave Jeff Hardy in that match. I was like, holy shit, they actually have him flat on his back and Jeff's going for the Swanton. I'm like, I can't believe it. Now I'm thinking, Karrion Kross is still going to win the match. He didn't even win the match. Wow. And then
the heel, in the traditional sense, you never want the heel to really roll out of the way, because then that shows that the heel outsmarted the babyface. So if the heel would have got his knees up or something like that, that would have been better. So what they did last night was they had the heel outsmart the babyface, and then the babyface cheated to beat the heel. What planet is this? What universe is this? This is the Bizarro universe of the WWE.
Bully, and here's the thing. We're so caught up in Karrion Kross that we haven't even discussed that part of it. Here's Jeff Hardy that you're saying, Bully, is one of the most beloved wrestlers in all the... I mean, for crying out loud, Bully, the guy is 6-30 in his last 36 matches since September. It doesn't matter. They still love Jeff Hardy. They gave Jeff Hardy his old music back yesterday. Everybody's going goo-goo gaga. They're talking about, oh my God, Jeff's music's back. Yay! Jeff's music's back. We got our old Jeff Hardy back. And he cheats to win. What logical sense does that make? In what world? And then Scurry, he cheats to win and scurries off. To the writer or the agent that came up with that match, do you understand the roles of a babyface and a heel? Does anybody know what the fuck is going on at that place?
Well, Dave, let me pump the brakes on you, because that entire thing is approved by Vince McMahon.
He's lost it.
Whatever ideas that they had for that match now has to be somehow told in the ring, and the producer has to help it. Like I said, you know what? Screw it. I'll just say it. My idea is better. My idea is considerably better than what they did last night. Karrion Kross should have killed Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy should have found a way to roll Kross up. 1, 2, 3. Kross kicks out very quick. Murders Jeff Hardy. And then murders the referee and says, screw Monday Night Raw. I'm heading back to NXT. Everybody now wins. How does that not work? Now, maybe from somebody from WWE is going to call the hotline and go, well, Bubba, that we have a two-month arc scheduled for Jeff Hardy and Karrion Kross, and it works out better to do it this way. I can guarantee you, not knowing their arc the way they did it last night was not the right way.
No, and nobody from the WWE is calling in, because they're all drinking
Karrion
the Kool-Aid.
Kross did not get over a lick last night with any aspect of his entrance, character, nothing.
Such a shame. It's such a shame. It really is. And your idea, Bully, Gabby's idea, Andre, you could pick up a fucking rock in your yard and say, rock, what would have been a better idea? And that rock would come up with a better idea than what they did last night. It's a fucking shame. It's a fucking shame. And you know what, Bully? I'm going to go back to it. Sounds crazy. And you could call me the insane talk show host on Sirius XM. Vince McMahon is burying NXT. He's burying NXT. Let me say it again. Vince McMahon is burying NXT. And you could drink all, you fucking WWE apologists could drink it. Oh my God, it tastes, when it hits my lips, it tastes so fucking good. It's so sweet and tasty. Give me more. He is burying NXT. Fucking burying it. That was an opportunity to gain viewers. And you lost it. You dropped the fucking ball.
I would have never brought Keith Lee back to the main roster. I would have put him back to NXT, where he could have shined and flourished. And maybe if he would have started to develop into the talent that Vince wanted him to, he could have been called back up at a later date. I would have parked him there where you can... accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. I would have never have had Karrion Kross on my TV last night. It was absolutely pointless. Maybe in 2 months from now, I'll be eating my words. And if I have to, I definitely will.
Hey, but still waiting on retribution. Still waiting on retribution. That's still playing out.
You got to be patient, Dave.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Ed Robinson. The associate producer is Gabby Laspisa. Andy King is the director of sports podcasting for SiriusXM. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.